I want to open in 2 Timothy 1:13, and it says, "Hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching, which you have heard from the Lord Jesus." Not from me, it says from me, but from the Lord. "And all the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, guard and keep the precious and excellent adopted truth, which has been given and entrusted to you by the help of the Holy Spirit, who makes his home inside of us. So hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching." The Lord desires us to hold fast, take hold of it, to hold it close. Who has 2 Corinthians 10:3? Microphone. The mic's not on. That mic, number 5. We're just making sure everybody's awake. There we go. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5.
"For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ."
Mm-hmm. Taking captive every thought. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Sometimes we allow our imagination or thoughts to run wild, to get the better of us, to think ways that we shouldn't be thinking of, or how God sees us. And I think sometimes the devil wants us to start taking our minds off what the Word of God says, to what the truth of the Word of God. And so Ephesians 6, who has Ephesians 6? Ephesians 6, 10-15.
"Be strong in the Lord and in strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace."
Ephesians 6, 10-15. "So before we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." There's rulers of this world in the present darkness. And as the church, we are the light because Christ lives within us. So all pieces of the armor belong to him and come from the Lord Jesus, from our Father. The Father gives us everything that we need. I know in Amplified, it says in Ephesians 6:11, it says, "Put on the whole armor, the armor of heavily armed soldiers, which God supplies." You think about how soldiers, when they go into battle, they don't just go in with one item. They go in there being prepared. A lot of training, a lot of application, applying the things they have learned in basic training. I think even when we become new believers in Christ, we go through basic training. Because the Bible says, "Do not let anyone who's a new believer be part of the leadership team, the worship team, or a teacher, or anything." And why is that? Because he doesn't want immature people to be part of that because they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Right? And it's easy to get bombarded as a new believer from Satan. Because it's even for us as mature, because we're being matured, right, every day, we get bombarded. So it's important to be rooted and grounded because Satan really wants to discourage you. He wants you to start believing lies, which are not true. Right? So we need to be heavily armed. And the armor of God gives us that if we apply it. That's the key. If I'm not willing to apply the Word of God, if I'm not willing to be obedient to the Word of God, then it means nothing. I need to put it on. I need to be conscious of it. And so it's not, everything comes from God. The armor comes from God. Truth comes from God. He has absolute truth. He's absolute truth. That's the only truth that we need. Because there's other truth out there that goes contrary to the Word of God, which is false lies, that tries to suck us in, because it might sound somewhat of a truth. But we need to know the truth. Absolute truth comes from God. Absolute righteousness comes from God. The gospel is from God. Our faith comes from God. Our salvation comes from God. So all these gifts are God, come from God to his people for their defense. Amazing, nothing comes from us. And New Age says, look at your inner self. God says, look at me, because all these things come from me for you. Do we desire to receive them? So they are all designed to help us to stand against the schemes of the devil. The belt of truth is the first part of the armor listed because without truth, we are lost. And the schemes of the devil will surely overpower us. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? So to know absolute truth, we have to know what the Word of God says. Because that's where truth comes from. Absolute truth comes from the Holy Word of God. To be able to stand, we have to know what the truth says and to apply it to our lives. Once we apply it, then we need to live it out. Faith in action. And the belt is the very first armor. It's the very first thing. Without truth, none of the other armors, the other defense mechanisms, or the breastplate of righteousness doesn't work, because everything's connected to the belt of truth. In John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth. And it is the truth, knowing and applying the truth, that we are sanctified. The word of God sanctifies our minds. The Word of God, when we apply it, sanctifies us. It cleanses us. Makes us have pure thoughts. Right? Because if we're listening to stuff that's not of God, it's easy to play those things in our mind. But when we sanctify or feed from the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, those thoughts start to take root in our minds, in our hearts, and then it comes out of our hearts, we start speaking differently. So it is fitting that the belt of truth is the first piece of the armor of God. Truth is the utmost importance in the life of a follower. And without truth, the rest of the armor would be useless. And we would not have the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who leads and guides us in all truth. Are we being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Because without the without being led of the Holy Spirit, we're kind of blinded. We don't have part of the... He's the one who leads us in all truth. He speaks to us through the living word. He speaks to us through other people that are God-fearing people. We are to actively lay hold of the truth and apply it to our lives. Do I apply the word of God to my life? Am I willing to apply what I read? Right? God is speaking to us. Am I applying what he is speaking to me about in my life? Or am I just saying, oh, I don't want to believe that truth? And sometimes there's a battle. More so than ought, there is a battle going on. Battle of your mind. A battle for your heart. So the belt of truth is a crucial piece of the defense armor, guarding the uttermost, innermost being of the battle. Truth is important. Absolute truth. Because the devil is about deceitful schemes. He'll twist what might sound like a truth, but as we go and be like a Berean, in Acts 17:11, Bereans were known as to search out the word of God. They didn't take anything. They took it and they said, well, does that line up to the word of God? Applied it. They searched it. When I hear something and somebody says, this is from God, does it line up to what the word of God says? The belt of truth buckled around our waist comes from the Lord, as do other pieces of armor. Wear against the lies and deceptions of the enemy. Is there lies or deceptions that we believe today that are not from God? So we ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, am I believing a lie? Or am I being deceived in some way, form, or that? But search my heart. Know that if there is anything in me that maybe is contrary to your word. Because if we believe in a lie, we're in bondage. The truth came to set us free. And to know the truth, we have to say, Lord, your word says it. I may not believe it, but I'm going to take hold of your word and apply it to my life. Well, it is contrary to what I think. But my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Your ways, my ways are not your ways. Right? Sometimes we think, nah, that doesn't really work. But God sees the bigger picture. He's changing how we think. Sometimes, have you ever had bad thoughts? Am I the only one? Right? We have bad thoughts. And how do we get rid of those bad thoughts? We make him obedient to the word of God and say, Lord, I have these silly thoughts. And I don't want these thoughts because it leads me down on this different path that is going away from you. So, Lord, I want to, out of obedience to your word, I really want to trust you and take hold of your truth and apply your truth to my life. And so, without understanding of the truth, we're just like sheep. Defenseless. Right? You ever seen that movie? What's that one I always like to play? It was the MMA, mixed martial arts, that guy. The guy who's a school teacher. Here comes the boom. You know, in the beginning, he was like, you know, he was being taught, okay, defensive. Protect yourself. You're just like a little puppy. A selfless little puppy, like a little, you can't protect yourself. And sometimes we're like this little puppy, we're defenseless. And but he got trained. He got better trainers. And God's training us not to be a defenseless puppy or a sheep that is defenseless, but he gives us armor to protect us, to help us. To come against the schemes of the enemy, to come against the things that are trying to harm us, to try to lead us away And I think that is, I think of that when he's just like, anyways, I think of that movie. This is a funny movie. So sometimes he doesn't want us to get carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness of Satan. We cannot muster our own truth or righteousness or salvation. We can't look at ourselves, but we have to look to the source, and that is Christ. We secure the belt around our waist. We must come to the source of truth, Jesus. After all, Jesus, God describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. He is the truth. He's the only truth. He's the only way. He's the only way for salvation. He's the only way for redemption. He's the only way. We may ask God to equip us. We must ask God to equip us. And spend regular times with him in Scripture, meditating on his word, praying out of obedience because of our love for him. The armor, the piece of armor that protects us against the lies, the deceptions of the enemy, is the belt of truth. The belt of truth prevents us from falling prey to the devil's lies. If we don't have an understanding of the truth, the rest of the armor is useless. So truth is the foundation of our faith. I cannot walk in victory if I'm believing lies. I cannot. There's a crack in the foundation. If I don't believe that God is the absolute truth, that he's the absolute only way, he's the only one to redeem and for salvation, if I believe other things other than that, I have a crack in my foundation. Then I start to wander and I start to look at other things. So the belt of truth reminds us about the nature of our Heavenly Father. Who has 1 Timothy 3:15.
But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
So God is the pillar and foundation of truth. That's 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Who does that one? So 1 Timothy 4:1-2.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Yeah, their conscience seared with a brand of a hot iron. So you think about it, but the Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares in the last times some will fall away from the faith. That's scary, that some people will walk away from the faith because they pay attention instead to deceitful and seductive spirits and doctrines of demons. And so as we gather together, we are speaking the word of God and to reprove one another, to say, you know, how does the scripture speak to you? Sometimes we see it differently. But we're trying to say, what does the word of God say in truth? Am I believing a lie? Or am I believing the truth? Because it's easy to be deceived. Right? Not one of us is exempt from being deceived. Satan really likes to attack the idea the idea of God, his idea or ideal. He doesn't want us to, he attacks who God is, his nature. He likes to pervert it. He makes a mockery of everything of God that God has created. He makes a mockery of that. And how God operates in this world. He likes to mock God. And how does he mock him? He twists things. He makes it, you know, he just sprinkles a little bit of truth here and there, right? A lot of the times he'll speak 90-some percent of the truth, but he'll throw some garbage in there. And sometimes that garbage, we take hold of that garbage. And we think, oh, that's the word of God. And he twists it just enough that he puts a hook in our mouth that able to lead us away. Right? He plays with us. He leads you away ever so slightly. Right? It doesn't happen immediately. It will happen over time. Because he knows if you're believing a lie, and if you are not knowing what the truth of God says, it's easier. Right? If you don't know what the truth of, if I don't spend time in the Word of God, it's easy to be deceived. More so. Right? As a believer, a new or old believer, I'm not spending time with my Lord, but it's easy to be deceived. So the devil will try to convince us that God is not all good. He'll say, look at all the stuff that's happened in this world. If God was good, why do we allow famine, people being tortured or enslaved or all this stuff? Right? Why there's so many murders and all this stuff. The devil will say that. If God was so good, why would he allow that? We live in a fallen world. And it's not because of God. It's because of Satan. He is the ruler of this world. Satan is the ruler, the prince of this world. We're in his playground. And he's the deceiver. So he's trying to make, see how he does that? He says, if God's all loving, why doesn't God save these people? God gives us free choice. He gives you a free will. If I really love God, I will follow him. If I really do, I would deny myself. And sometimes I don't deny myself. Right? But I desire to follow God more and more every day. That's the difference. Do I desire to follow God more today than yesterday? Am I willing to apply the Word of God to my life more and more all the time? And the devil will say, you know, is God all-knowing? If God was all-knowing, he would not have created Satan. Because Satan was one of the, an archangel. He was a cherubim. He was in God's sight. If God's all-knowing, why would he have created him? See how Satan tries to play, put lies in? You try to doubt the word of God. Is God really good? Is God really holy, righteous? Is God all-sovereign? He is all that. God is all good. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sovereign, all-trustworthy. He tries to put doubt in our minds. Did the word of God say this? See how the subtlety of how Satan will work? He's very subtle. If he can make you question who God is, he's going to win. If he could suck you in on his side, he's winning. But we see as we read the Word of God, who God, the character of God, who he is. He is holy. He is righteous. He's above reproach. He's in control. He gives us free choice and free will. That's a loving God. And so because of these teachings, we see this generation rising up increasingly very vulnerable to the devil because they believe in these lies. You live the worldview. There is how the worldview says there's no absolute right or wrongs. There's no absolute truth. Because you hear people say, this is my truth. This is how I perceive things. This is my how I think. Right? You hear that all the time. This is my truth. Your truth doesn't really matter. Your ways don't really matter because they're contrary to mine. They're trying to say that, no, there's no absolute truth. And so then they say, well, there's no absolute truth and there's no right or wrong. Then there's sexual immorality doesn't exist. Or homosexuality is okay because this is how I feel. This is how I that's my love. They talk about that. This is how I feel. This is what I think is right. The murder of innocent infants is because if there's no right or wrong, it's okay just to kill this baby within me, within the woman, because she has rights. And the pedophilia, they say, well, that's just how, that's my sexual orientation. See how Satan is starting to make men think differently? But the Word of God says differently. And they said, well, the only wrong thing is to declare the existence of absolute truth. They don't want the Bible in the schools. They don't want the Bible in government. They don't want the Bible being spoken of. They don't want Jesus Christ being spoken of because he's the absolute truth. And so if we speak of Jesus Christ, we're speaking of the absolute truth. He is the only way. So we live in a system based on lies of devil. And if we don't know the truth, you will fall into the temptation of the day. So what's 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11?
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Amen. Those things we were once were like. But now, he says, if you continue these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's very sobering. Because when the church is saying that we accept the transgender or the homosexuals or the drunkards or the adulterers, if they continue in that, because they'll say that you're not very loving. This is how I am. You got to accept me for who I am. And we say, no, I accept you, but you should turn away from your sin. Repent of it. That's a loving thing. Because we don't want, if they continue in their lifestyle, they will go to hell. The unloving thing is to accept them and say, oh, just live how you want to. Right? You're going to be fine. You can accept Christ. You don't have to change. Just be who you are. But the Word of God says you need to repent. Repent is a change of mind. And confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repentance is the key. We need to repent of our sins and change. And so to be unloving to somebody is to allow them to stay in their sin. If adulterer stays in his sin and we say, you need to repent of your adultery, he doesn't. He doesn't go to heaven. That's very sobering. So So the unloving thing is to allow them to stay in their lifestyles. Some people say that's a very broad view. But the Word of God says, I think it was in Matthew, talks about the broad road, the narrow road leads to holiness and to life, eternal life. The wide road leads to destruction. So we have to say, this is what the Word of God says. Because of my love for you, I don't want you to stay in that lifestyle. I want you to change. I want the Holy Spirit to work in you. And so that you would repent of your lifestyles. You think of how many homosexuals and transgender people have come, or even adulterers, and have repented, right? And as it says, some of you were once that way. So that's a loving God. He changes you, your desires. He says, I don't want you to live that way anymore. I want you to live differently. Well, that makes sense. Right? We can't. They're welcome to come. We don't want them to stay the way they are. So, however, Satan is not attacking, however, Satan is not just attacking the culture, he's also attacking the church, the pillar of the foundation of truth. As we read in 1 Timothy 3:15, which is the Word of God. He's attacking the Word of God. And if we don't take hold of the Word of God, we will be led astray. So in Genesis 3, verses 1 to 6, it says, right? It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field, which the Lord has made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to serpent, from the fruit of these trees of the garden we may eat, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said this, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, surely you will not die. Surely you will not die if you touch it or if you eat from it. For God knows that the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to her eyes, you see how she just allowed, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took it from its fruit from the tree and ate it. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. We see how Satan deceived Eve, making her question God's word and his character. We also see how Adam stood there with his wife and said nothing. He never protected her, nor stood in the authority of God that God gave him to have dominion over the animals. And God said in Genesis 1:28, I give you dominion over the animals of the sea. I gave you dominion over the birds. I gave you all dominion over the animals. God gave man dominion over all those things. And yet, Adam stood there, never protecting his wife. He is right there with her. He didn't say a word. And why did not he say that? God gave him a command to be the spiritual man of the house, to be the protector of his wife. Yet he stood there and didn't say a word. Sometimes we could be like Adam and not stand on the authority that Christ has given us. We'll say, I might as well just not say a word. I'm just going to let it just slide this time. But God's saying, you're responsible for what you know. He wants us to stand up for what is true, for what is right, for what is holy, for what is righteous. He doesn't want us to idly stand by and not say anything. Because then we are actually accountable for what we do not do. Did I give somebody James 1:22? Did I give that to anybody? No? Who wants to read James 1:22? Okay. Yeah. Who has it? Okay. Enid's going to read it. Somebody can read James 1:25, though.
But be doers of the word. Obey the message and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers. So what's James 1:25?
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty and faith will abide by it. We're called to do that. Carefully looking into the Word of God and applying it. The listener who we become blessed. There's a blessing when we apply the Word of God to our lives. So living a life of obedience. What's 1 Corinthians 15:58?
1558. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Continue aware that your labor and the Lord is not futile. That's what the Amplified says. The labor that we have is not futile. Though sometimes we feel what we're doing, does it really matter? It does matter. How I live matters. What I say matters. How God is speaking in my life matters. What I say to others, as well as the Holy Spirit to speak through me to say to others, matters. So what we're doing matters. We just don't put up our hands and say, you know what, I quit. We don't quit until the Lord takes us home. What I do matters. God has called us and has a purpose and a plan for us to be His light, His feet, His hands, His mouthpiece in this world. And sometimes we just want to throw up our hands and say, this doesn't matter. See how these things are going? That's the word of how Satan puts that in your heart. He says, this doesn't matter. He wants you to quit. Right? Satan wants you to quit. That's another lie. We just read. God wants you to not quit. What you're doing for Him does matter. See how there's a spiritual warfare for our minds and our hearts? We are being attacked daily. We have to remember to apply the Word of God, to live the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, chew on it. We learn that we are in a spiritual warfare. Sometimes Satan attacks our emotions. He attacks our bodies, our livelihood, or even our families in order to enslave and destroy the souls of mankind, to wear down the followers of Christ. Are we worn down today? Am I worn down today? And sometimes when we're under attack, we get worn down. But what does the Lord say? Praise Him. Worship Him. Sing to Him. Because He's the one who strengthens us. Because all our strength, everything we need, comes from Him. You know, the enemy feasts on the believers who do not know and also doubt the Word of God. But at the same time, he's a defeated foe. Do you believe that? He is defeated. But he also feasts on those who do not know the Word of God or who do not apply the Word of God. He likes to feast on those believers. So in First John 2:14. Who wants to read First John 2:14?
I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one.
So spiritual young men overcome the devil because of the word of God is strong in them. Lord, I pray that your word be strong in my life. Lord, I would believe your truth wholeheartedly. Lord, that you reveal the lies that I may believe in. Sound biblical doctrine is necessary for aspect of true wisdom and authentic faith. Without the truth, you can't have authentic faith in Christ. So, Father, I just pray that where there's lies that we are believing, Lord, we take captive, because you have tell us to take captive those thoughts, to make them obedient to your word. And Lord, where those lies are reigning and ruling in our lives, Lord, we desire that your truth would reign and rule in those areas. And Lord, that you would remove those lies. And Lord, that we would repent of believing those lies from Satan, who has been dragging us through this muck and to lead us further from you. But Lord, I desire to know your truth, because you said your truth, your word, sets us free. And so, Lord, we do believe that your word sets us free, that your word heals us. It heals us, our minds, our hearts, our souls. It brings your peace, your shalom to our whole being. And, Lord, that only your word brings utter peace and joy in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that where we feel weary and tore down, beaten up, that what we are doing for you doesn't matter. Father, I pray that you would just encourage your children today, that you would strengthen them, that, Lord, that refreshing waters would come and refresh them, that you would quicken their minds and their hearts. Lord, they would have a different step. Lord, that they'd be feeling light and joyful, even through the things that they're going through, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're always with us and that you're strengthening us to get through, and you're teaching us the tactics of Satan. So, Lord, help us to be wise and discerning. And Lord, help us to apply the word that you're speaking to us. Let us, Father, be doers of your word, not just hearers. Because you say that we become deceived if we do not apply your word. So, Lord, thank you that you're waking us up. Thank you that you're stirring in us a hunger and a desire for you alone. Lord, that our eyes would be totally fixed on you. That, Lord, that we know that the plans and the purpose, even the path that you have, the journey that you have placed us in, is not in vain. Thank you, Lord, that you give us encouragement. So, Lord, we do pray for your protection over our minds, that we put on the full armor of God, starting with the belt of truth, applying the breastplate of righteousness, putting on the shoes that we can stand and withstand the scheme of the enemy. We can have the shield of faith, that, Father, that our faith comes from you, that you're stirring and building up the faith in our lives. And, Lord, that the sword that you have given us, your word, would truly reign and penetrate the very essence of our beings. And, Lord, that we would meditate on your word. So, Lord, I do pray that you would just continue to work mightily in our lives and reveal things that are contrary to your word that operates in our lives. Help us, Lord, take hold of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.